Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Fox Sports Updates brought to you by Deeds Bar & Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, and new dinner specials on Thursday through Saturday. And check out the great new golf shop.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Dan Beyer.
Bill Belichick was introduced today as the new head football coach at the University of North Carolina.
I always wanted to coach in football. Coaching college football. It just never really worked out. Had some good years in the NFL, so that was okay. This is really kind of a dream come true. I grew up in college football with my dad, and so it's great to come back home to Carolina, you know, back in an environment that I really grew up in.
Belichick, by the way, told reporters today he absolutely will be making in-home visits during recruiting. Former Florida and Mississippi State head coach Dan Mullen's going to be the new head coach at UNLV, getting a five-year deal to replace Barry Odom, who left for Purdue. Colorado two-way star Travis Hunter was named the AP's College Football Player of the Year. Rams and 49ers tonight to start Week 15. 49ers are expected to activate linebacker Dre Greenlaw, who's been out since he ruptured his Achilles during Super Bowl 58. Broncos signed tackle Garrett Bowles to a four-year extension worth $82 million.
Fox Sports Update on KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar & Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, and new daily specials. And check out the great new golf shop. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, this is your Agribusiness Update. A major battle is brewing over how much red meat Americans should consume as the U.S. prepares to update its dietary guidelines for Americans. Drafted recommendations are set to call for greater intake of plant-based foods while limiting consumption of beef and starchy vegetables like potatoes. The committee behind the recommendations also proposed moving meats, poultry, and eggs to the last group listed in the protein foods category behind beans, peas, and lentils. While there's been no sign of person-to-person spread of bird flu, researchers now say a single mutation of the H5N1 avian influenza virus could enhance its ability to attach to human cells. That could potentially increase the transmission among humans, according to a study led by a team of scientists at the Scripps Research Institute. These findings highlight the need for continuous surveillance of emerging mutations in avian and bovine H5N1 viruses. Republican governors wrote Congress on the urgent need to update the 2018 Farm Bill. In the letter, state leaders emphasized how the ag industry has experienced high inflation, high input costs, high interest rates, catastrophic weather events, regulatory uncertainty, and a growing agricultural trade deficit. In most states, agriculture serves as the largest industry. Farmers are projected to see up to $35 billion in lost profit this year.
For the last 40 years, the Ag Information Network has been the source of news for farmers and ranchers. Yet we have never seen such an assault on farming and our food supply as we do today. From fuel to fertilizer, farmers are facing unprecedented economic challenges. This is why agriculture news that farmers receive comes from the Ag Information Network, reaching coast to coast. Deep roots in farming and decades of reporting, the Ag Information Network, trusted and transparent journalism for generations.
Do you know a veteran in need? Nation's Finest, through the VA's Supportive Services for Veteran Families program, helps veterans and their families struggling with rent, employment, and other housing-related costs. Today, Nation's Finest operates more than 30 locations in California, Arizona, and Nevada, helping thousands of veterans every year. Visit nationsfinest.org or call 1-833-468-9676. That's 1-833-468-9676.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Charles Payne, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Adobe stock plummeting Thursday after a disappointing outlook raised investors' concerns
about growing competition for the computer software company's AI tools. Microsoft says General Motors' decision to scrap its Cruise robo-taxi program will cost it $800 million. Microsoft invested in Cruise about 4 years ago. GM says it ended the program because of the costs and time needed to build the business, and because of increased competition. The Wall Street Journal says Netflix is pulling back its generous parental leave benefits package, which had been giving new moms and dads unlimited time off in their child's first year. Netflix says the policy became unsustainable, discovering more staffers than it expected took full advantage of the benefit. And that's your Fox Business Report. I'm Laura Cantor, invested in you.
Why pay more for prescriptions? Stop overpaying and start saving with SingleCare. It's easy. Find your prescription on singlecare.com, show the coupon at the pharmacy, and start saving. SingleCare works at pharmacies nationwide and is completely free to use, whether you have insurance or not. So the next time you fill a prescription, check SingleCare to make sure you're getting the best price. Take control of your prescription costs. Go to singlecare.com or download the free app today.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
You know that reaction that people have on TV when they get to the newly remodeled bathroom? That wow moment is key when it comes to loving your remodel. Hi, this is Brian Carroll from A1 Glass, where we pride ourselves on providing our customers and contractors with shower enclosures that wow and last. No matter your taste or budget, A1 Glass has all of the top-of-the-line shower enclosures. Plus, our showroom is filled with options, so you can see it for yourself. A1 Glass, for all your glass needs.
Happy holidays from Paso Robles Radio Shack. We are having a Black Friday special sale that will be continuing the entire month of December. That includes the RBG gaming headsets that are plug and play for your PC, PS, and Xbox. Also, we have DVD players, 9-inch and 14-inch, with TV tuners, rechargeable batteries, AC and DC powered, and a wide selection of radio-controlled toys, cars and trucks for the paved surfaces and the rough grass surfaces as well. Radio-controlled boats that will right themselves if they turn over in the weeds, drones that you can fly from your cell phone like a pilot. Also, the educational kits for the beginning electrician. Remember, we have a wide selection of batteries with a special on the 32-pack AA alkaline batteries for $14.99. Come check us out at 1171 Creston Road, number 109 in Paso Robles, where Black Friday sales continue through the month of December.
Love barbecue? At Chef Gregory's Barbecue Smokehouse, we're serving award-winning barbecue, pulled barbecue pork sandwiches, baby back ribs, pork belly, chicken, and more. Right here at Atascadero at 6550 El Camino Real below the clock tower. With over 25 years of world championship barbecue competitions, now you can enjoy that flavor close to home. We also offer catering, cooking classes, and over 30 flavors of peanut brittles. Visit chefgregory.com to explore all we have to offer. Chef Gregory's Barbecue Smokehouse in Atascadero, where Memphis tradition meets gourmet perfection.
Looking for a great indoor activity to get moving? Try Uncle Ed's Outfitters Indoor Archery for everyone 7 and over when accompanied by an adult. The new archery range is open 24 hours a day with unlimited access and coded entry for members. Uncle Ed's Outfitters would be happy to rent archery equipment or give you or the family a lesson from a USA Archery certified instructor. Book an hour or a day of indoor archery at Uncle Ed's Tuesday through Saturday from 10 to 6 in the Oak Shopping Center in Atascadero near Guest House Grill.
Today I'm going to talk a little bit more about education just to get something off my chest. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by Mills Construction. For architectural, metal, roofing, and siding, call Aaron at 610-1256.
In this political season, there's been some talk about the need to increase federal aid to education. Indeed, the National Education Association proclaims a crisis in education, which can only be met by massive infusions of billions of federal dollars. Well, however you define crisis, we can at least agree in the last 20 years, the quality of education has declined by anyone's standard. Scores in college entrance exams have fallen continuously until last year they reached an all-time low. But can this be laid to inflation or reduced spending? In these 20 years, inflation has raised the cost of things 57.2%. The average cost of educating a pupil in the public schools has gone up 211%. The total cost in constant dollars has gone up four times as much as enrollment. The number of school employees has increased 2.5 times as much as the increase in enrollment. But significantly, the increase in non-teaching employees, administrators, etc., is up 4 times as much. There are fewer pupils per teacher and fewer per classroom. In what has been called the most thorough study of the public schools ever made, Dr. James Coleman of Johns Hopkins University says there is no relationship or ratio between the quality of education and class size or the number of pupils per teacher or cost of teacher salary. Well, if the National Education Association is wrong and a shortage of money isn't to blame, how do we explain the drop in quality? May I suggest the possibility that educators tinkering with the system, their eyes on a brave new world which they were going to build right in the classroom, just may have tossed out some pretty tried and true fundamentals. We've all been aware of the educationist claims that the old-fashioned reading, writing, and arithmetic was no longer relevant. School was going to mold the now generation into world citizens, free of prejudice, hostility, or even a competitive instinct. Why did we let their theories go without argument? Why did none of us point out that mankind has made more advances in virtually every field in the last 25 or 30 years than in all of history up to the present? It doesn't take a genius to figure out that the men and women responsible for those advances got their education in the old-fashioned system the educationists are so determined to scrap. Are we to believe those who harnessed the atom, took us to the moon, gave us the miracles of computers, electronics, jet travel, and an end to so many crippling and death-dealing diseases, did all of this in spite of their education? Someone in those old-fashioned schools that are so despised by today's elitists must have done something right. Let me add a postscript. Yesterday, I mentioned the old-fashioned McGuffey's readers that were standard in our schools for more than half a century. Fourth graders read the Sermon on the Mount, King Solomon and the Ants by Whittier, Alfred the Great, and the history of the United Netherlands. Little Johnny could read then. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by Mills Construction, specializing in pre-engineered metal buildings. Call Aaron at 610-1256. KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. And today we're going to be talking about a lot of things dealing with county government. I have two people here today. I have Mike Brown. Now, Mike Brown is a county watchdog with CoLab, the Coalition of Labor, Business, and Agriculture, or Labor, Agriculture, and Business. And Mike Brown goes to almost every government meeting at the county. Board of Supervisors, you'll rarely not see him at the Board of Supervisors. He pays attention to Community Choice Energy. He pays attention to the Coastal Commission. He is the watchdog for thousands of members of CoLab in this community. Mike, I want to thank you for being on the show today.
Well, it's my pleasure. Great to be here. And anything I can do to help, let's go.
Sounds very good. And I also have Eric Gorham. Eric Gorham, he is the manager of Madrone Landscaping. It is probably the top landscaping company on the Central Coast. They've done many of the wineries, many of the... I'm sure that everybody here has seen the work, whether you know it or not, of Madrone Landscaping. But aside from that, he is very, very also into politics and what's best for the government and the public. He watches the different laws, and he is very outspoken. Eric, thank you for coming in today.
Oh, thanks for having me. It sounded like a good show to be a part of.
And we're going to start, and for those that don't know, and I think many more people are learning, there is a thing called Community Choice Energy. Did they change it again, or is it still Community Choice?
It's still Community Choice Energy.
It was Monterey something Energy at first. This has been a group. It's like another layer of energy. It's PG&E has the lines for our energy, and PG&E would buy power from different companies. This company does not have any lines. They do not make power. They also now buy power, and they bought a lot of power a long time ago at a very cheap rate. And I'll have Mike clarify if I'm wrong on this, but their power is slightly lower than the power that is coming if you go straight through PG&E right now. But there are many people that believe it's going to go up because they don't have the power that they bought at a very cheap rate is running out. And it is likely that it could be higher than PG&E in the future. Mike, is that correct? And what is currently going on with Central Community Choice Energy?
Yeah, so this is a new government. It's a authority that was created. The legislature enabled them. There are 17 in the state now, and this is one of them, and it covers 5 Central Coast counties from Santa Barbara up to San Benito and Monterey and so forth, and SLO is part of it. And the idea is that you would create this public authority governed by representatives of the cities and the counties. So all the cities and all 5 counties have a representative, and that they would go out and use their government exempt status to benefit, so no taxes or anything, and that they could buy so-called green energy and then wield that to the public. And the state played favorites. I think it was an absolute travesty that when this takes effect, you're automatically enrolled. So they automatically transfer you from PG&E to Central Coast Community Energy Authority. The acronym is 3CE, and you have to opt out if you want to get out. And right now, if you think about the cost of producing and distributing electricity, you have the cost of generating it, you have the cost of transmitting it, you have the cost of tamping it down, you know, from very high voltage to something you can use in your house or business. You have the maintenance of all that big infrastructure, transformers, and PG&E is still a generator, too. It's not just buying energy from other utilities, but it has a nuclear plant, it has hydro dams, and all sorts of things. But this public authority, because the utility companies are very old, the investor-owned utilities like 3CE and Southern California Edison and San Diego Electric and so forth are mature companies, 100 years old. When the green energy mandate started coming down over a decade ago, they were forced to buy very long-term contracts with very expensive green energy. And this allowed these CCAs, community choice aggregators, to come in under them with a slightly lower cost on the energy generation component. Obviously, all the other costs are the same, and the utilities have to be compensated for transferring, you know, and running the system, doing the billing, fixing things when the storm comes, and everything else they do. Right now, 3CE has a very slight advantage in the energy cost component. The rest are the same, and your utility bills are going to go up because PG&E has these older contracts. PG&E has been told it has to underground everything. It has to pay off certain lawsuits. So no matter what, everybody's energy is going to go up. The real trick here is now on January 1st, 2025, everybody in the unincorporated county and everybody in the city of Atascadero will automatically be transferred to 3CE as their local energy provider. And but you'll still get a bill from PG&E, and there'll be a little itemization there that shows what part is PG&E and what part is 3CE. And this is very unfair. So you have people who invested in utilities. You built these very complicated and successful utilities over 100 years. And now the government comes and says, you have to do this. So most people don't even look at it. So the bill comes, it gets in the pile of junk on your kitchen counter. At some point, you pick it up and write a check, and that's that. And most people probably aren't even going to know. So what the experience has been is that about 97% of the customers stay with 3CE and are probably mostly not even aware of the difference. A few opt out, and probably everybody has received the first postcard from 3CE that attempts to explain this. The print is so damn small, you need a magnifying glass. And the part, you know, if you think it's unfair and you want to opt out, they have a number for you to call and you can opt out. So you get one notice in January and one notice in February to that effect. And then if you don't opt out, you're permanently in 3CE. If you decide to opt out after that, there's a $25 fee.
Mike, did you personally opt out?
Yeah, of course, because I've always felt this is so unfair.
And I'm going to ask Eric.
So, yeah.
You live in the county. You received this probably a month ago.
And I opted out. I actually opted out a day or two before it hit my mailbox because I had heard about it online. And I went to the website and opted out. And a few days later, I got the postcard. Because I haven't liked it from day one. If you look at this, this is PG&E cannot advertise to their favor on this. Only 3CE can advertise. Look how great we are. And if you listen to that carefully, they say we may be cheaper. They don't say we are going to be cheaper. We may be. Their advertising point is one of the worst I've ever heard in my life. We may be cheaper. I mean, as a landscape company, we may be cheaper than the other guy, so just take our bid. You know, you don't even need to look at it. But and then to have it forced down your throat, that just does not. I knew it was coming when, you know, we lost Lynn. We knew the county was going to get it, and it didn't take very long for them to adopt it. And I don't understand how they can just say, well, we're going to change you. You know, it would be one thing if they gave you the opportunity to opt in, but we're forced in and then we have to opt out. And I'm going to be watching it because I want to make sure they opt me out. I got a little thing that said they did, but I don't know, something about this I just don't trust, you know.
Yeah, you'll have to look at your bill and see after the cutover. So the history of this is quite deep. So back in the 90s, the city of Berkeley got this idea, you know, maybe, you know, we all hate the utilities, we think we're paying too much. They're big capitalist corporations. So, you know, Berkeley said, well, maybe we should just get in the electric business and somehow buy electricity. So they kind of came up with this idea. So then they told their staff to analyze it, and the staff came back and pointed out a lot of problems and everything, because you didn't have this state-enabling legislation, so forth. So the city of Berkeley dropped it. And then fast forward into the 2000s, it's now about, I think, 12 years ago, the state legislature passed enabling legislation to let this happen. And lo and behold, nobody jumped on it, but about 10 years ago, Marin County did. So Marin County was the first one, and they set up a Marin Clean Energy Authority. The theory is they go out and they contract with utilities anywhere by bid for green energy. And so Marin was the first. And then it began to spread. Now, as I say, there's 17 of them. This one, the Central Coast Community Energy Authority, started about 5 years ago with one county. It was the Monterey Clean Energy Authority. Now, the electricity actually isn't any cleaner, which is one important point, because actually the electrons you're getting through the wires come from PG&E. And even though 3CE is contracting with utilities all over the place, in Canada, in the Pacific Northwest, in Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, and wherever, what they're really getting is clean energy certificates. And they buy a lot of 30-year, 20-year, 10-year contract. And because that long contract is there, Houston Energy or Arizona Public Service or some new company that set up a solar field in the middle of New Mexico gives them a slightly lower price than PG&E is paying for its older contracts. But what we're going to see is that gap's going to narrow. So as PG&E's older contracts amortize out and are used up, they will be able to acquire newer, cheaper green energy. That right now, these are certificates, because no one's going to send you electricity all the way from British Columbia or the, you know, Texas or something. And so we and others have been pointing out that these are really paper, like paper water, but and the energy is actually whatever energy is in the wires. And in fact, PG&E, if the state would allow it to count nuclear and large hydro as clean energy, PG&E would already be at about 90% clean energy. Except the state of California legally won't allow utilities to count nuclear, which is totally carbon-free, or large hydro as clean energy. So meanwhile, 3CE and all these other CCAs, they're called, community choice aggregators, are out there getting these contracts and representing to the public how green their energy is. I think 3CE's actual real green energy is about 30%, because they can't count nuclear or large hydro either. But all the electricity is really coming from wherever PG&E makes it or sources it. So this is, and then on top of that, so they have a vigorish on the rate, and they take some of that money. And they've set up this big patronage scheme where you have all these city council members and county supervisors sitting on its board in a complicated representative scheme. And then they say, okay, we're going to take some of our little profit and we're going to give grants back to the cities and counties so they can buy stuff or give people energy things. So like they're giving these jurisdictions money to buy electric vehicle chargers. They're buying electric school buses, electric garbage trucks. They're hiring lots of consultants, you know, at the local level to tell people how to get off their gas appliances and so on and so forth, or insulate their home. And this is a marvelous patronage scheme. So here, as the politicians get to hand out.
Mike, we're going to have to take a break from our sponsors. And I agree with you. It's almost always follow the money. But we'll be back with more with Mike Brown and Eric Gorham after a word from our sponsor.
The customer service and workmanship at Davis Body Shop is first rate.
Jessica, who is a North County resident, talks about her experience at Davis Body Shop.
Lori, Eric, and Patrick were super helpful. Patrick did a great job ensuring that everything my car needed was done in an incredibly fast time. My car looks amazing inside and out. For body work and customer care, Davis is the best, and we would never take our cars anywhere else.
Davis Body Shop has repaired well over 80,000 vehicles since 1962, and today Davis is the longest established shop on the Central Coast. If you ever need the services of Davis Body Shop, remember, they are San Luis Obispo County's most honored, respected, and trusted auto collision specialist with two locations, on El Camino Real with a convenient enterprise car rental facility, and Davis Body Shop on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Garage door jamming? Time to call Hammond.
Hammond Overhead Door Company has known for over 50 years that you have a choice when it comes to garage door services. That's why they utilize only the finest garage door materials and equipment, and their fleet of fully equipped service vehicles are ready to serve your maintenance and repair needs quickly and efficiently. Hammond Overhead Door Company. Call 238-0524 or go to HammondOverheadDoor.com.
Garage door jamming? Time to call Hammond.
Play Paso Robles Downtown Holiday Blackout Bingo, and you could win a holiday shopping spree worth $300, $150, or $75. Just find the bingo page in this year's songbook at downtown businesses or at the Main Street office. Visit each store to stamp their page. The completed page must be turned into Main Street by Saturday, December 14th. Must be at least 18 years old. Page must be stamped by all businesses. Drawing will be held Sunday, December 15th, 3 p.m. at the Holiday House in City Park.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veeley. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursdays. I'm also an investigative reporter for Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News, your place for local reporting, investigative reporting. It's the top news source in San Luis Obispo County. And one of the things that I wanted to talk a little bit about is what's going on with the elections this year. We, again, were the second slowest to get our count done in the entire state of California. San Luis Obispo County was second slowest. And, again, Elaine Cano says this is because she's more meticulous than other clerk recorders. Other people think it's because she's sloppier than other clerk recorders. It's kind of a two-way street. And that yesterday, or on Tuesday, at the Board of Supervisors, Debbie Arnold voted against certifying the election, primarily because there were several people who complained. I voted, and my vote wasn't counted. What happened? And Debbie said, because it's taken us so long and it's not done as well as it was before COVID, I'm going to vote against certifying. And then you had a major attack on Debbie, again, by Bruce Gibson, belittling her, chastising her, and arguing that it should have been a 5-0 vote. And that is something that's happening more and more and more in government. For example, for those that have been watching all the Paso Robles drama, one of the arguments with old Ty Lewis is that he claims that what was said at a meeting at a coffee shop, that it was, he claims that what was said at the meeting had to do with him saying it was about Bausch not being nice to him. I wrote a story saying it was about being nice to staff and all getting along. I am going to be posting an audio tape of that within the week, and you could tell for yourself, is this him getting in trouble? Is this Bausch getting in trouble for not being nice to Ty Lewis? Or is this Ty Lewis and John Hammond wanting them all to vote together and get along? And they have meetings before the meetings to get along. Eric, I'm going to ask you first. Do you believe it's okay for public officials not to agree during meetings?
Well, that's why, you know, if you look at the Board of Supervisors or in Paso Robles, we have different districts. And those districts, you know, they elect somebody within their district and they want them to vote a certain way. That's why they got elected. So you don't go along to get along. And if you look at, like, I believe this would be the sixth time Debbie has voted not to certify. And each time she's gotten chastised for it. And, you know, she has problems with the process. It used to go better. It used to not take 30 days. Now it takes the full legal allotted time every time for some reason. And so you vote somebody in, you know, the majority of the constituents in that district wanted that person for a particular reason, and they should vote the way their constituents want them to vote and why they were put there.
And you're in Debbie's district. Are you happy with how she voted?
I am happy with Debbie. Debbie listens, and she votes her conscience, and that's why she's there. That's why I think she's been one of the best supervisors San Luis Obispo County's ever had.
And Mike Brown, how did you feel about how do you feel about us being second slowest, and also this push to get a 5-0 vote and look like everybody agrees?
Yeah, so you know, I studied the thing, and I think one of the remarkable things was, I think it was by the time of the second count. So they had the election night, and then a week later or whatever, they did the second round of counting. And at that point, Slo County still had something like 28,000 uncounted votes sitting there. L.A., and I think Slo County has something like 180,000 voters. So L.A. County, at the time of that count, with 3,600,000 voters, only had 19,000. And you can imagine the complexity with 101 cities, all the different types of structural things. I think they had something like over 90 different types of ballots or something because of the structure. And they had less than, and think of the 19,000, you know, within 3.6 million versus Slo with 28,000 with 180,000 voters. Just incomprehensible. So you have that. And then as to the second point, I believe, you know, I've served in a number of different cities and counties in across the country in my career, and I believe that vigorous discussion and debate is absolutely important. And what, as we over the decades, what's happened is they've become much more closed, and they hash a lot of stuff out in executive session. And they see the staff people individually. It's called walking the board or walking the city council. So the public works director, the county council, the police chief, whoever it is, has got something coming up on the agenda. They go in and give each elected a little presentation. The public never gets to see that. And so in some of the best jurisdictions, reform-wise, you have in a city charter, for example, a law that says except for the purpose of inquiry, the staff, city manager, county executive officer will not present things individually in the back room. And what's happened over the decades, we've lost a lot of that. And so an awful lot of public policy isn't being done in the light of day. And so if you're lucky enough to have a city council member or a mayor or a county supervisor who will stop the merry-go-round and say, hey, wait a minute, there's some issues here. You're really lucky. And that was one of the great things Supervisor Arnold did.
We have about 5 seconds left, and I will... We're going to have our top of the hour break, and we'll be back with more with Mike Brown and Eric Gorham.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.